Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Let's give them a hand. Thank you. While there's moving parts going on here today, for those who are participating in Connect 2, we wanted you to be a part of being the send-off for our mission team. But for those of you who want to join Connect 2, which is connecting with your faith and some four practical ways you can grow in your faith, if you're interested in doing that, right now you might be dismissed to do that. And so thanks. Go ahead and head that way. And while they're moving, let's also welcome all our guests today. So let's put our hands together and say thank you to our guests. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's go. Yeah, good stuff. Lots of moving parts. Hey, if the church isn't moving, it's dying, right? So we got to stay moving, be active, and see what God is going to accomplish through this exciting movement. So Luke, here we are. Luke, we're going to spend about a year studying the book of Luke, and by the end of it, with different breaks along the way. Luke is the third letter in the New Testament. It's all about Jesus, and we're excited to study that together. It's called a gospel in most people's vernacular, but a lot of people don't even know what gospel means. And gospel is simply a combination of two words that end up meaning good news. And we all need some good news, don't we? I think that we need good news in our life. I don't know about you, but I love feel-good stuff, like feel-good movies. How many of you saw the movie The Upside with Kevin Hart? Nobody wants to admit they saw it. Okay, well, I saw it. It's a great, fun movie. Like, you leave feeling a little bit lighter than you walked in. How about you? Tell me your favorite feel-good movie. Y'all talk. You can talk out loud. Come on. Favorite feel-good movie? Come on, Talladega Nights. That's not a feel-good movie. Blindside, yeah, that's a good one. Another feel-good movie. Rudy. Forrest Gump, I don't know, like what is it? Feel-good stuff, why do we need feel-good? Because there's so much bad stuff going on around us. There's so much bad news weighing us down. I saw this commercial recently, and it's just such a feel-good commercial. I want you to take a look right up here.
He's gonna do it! You gotta see this!
Isn't that so good? Isn't that so good? Does that make you feel good? Yeah, it does. It makes everybody feel better, and I love that. I think we all want to feel good. That's the goal of the book of Luke, that you would know that the good news is not for a select group of people, but it's the good news for everyone, whether rich or poor or male or female or wealthy or it doesn't matter who you are. The gospel, the good news is for everyone, and that's what Luke writes about. Now, Luke is a pretty detailed account of this whole message of Jesus. In fact, in Luke 1, he describes what he's talking about when he says that he wants to write a detailed account. So I want you to read with me from Luke chapter 1, the beginning of Luke 1. Many have undertaken this attempt to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Verse 2, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the very first, they were eyewitnesses. They got to see Jesus living on the earth, and they were servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated, notice Luke, many people say that Luke was a doctor, but we don't know if he was a physician or if he was a scholarly kind of doctor, but he was a smart dude, and he was writing and carefully investigating this account. Now, what's interesting about this careful investigation, there are certain personalities, doctors especially, who might be a little more detailed. Did you know that in the personality world that doctors and accountants go hand in hand, like in the same category oftentimes? Doctors, dentists, accountants, they have to be detail-oriented because, I mean, like, you can't leave a stethoscope or whatever, you know, you can't leave a something in somebody. You got to make sure it gets out of them even though you're using it. Those are the kinds of details that Luke is writing about. He's carefully investigated everything from the beginning. And he too, he says, decided to write an orderly account, an orderly account. So this is organized, an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus is the recipient of this letter that Luke is writing. A lot of people think that Theophilus was probably not a follower of Jesus, but Luke was writing to him to say, hey, we want you to believe, and here's why you should believe. Because this is good news for everyone. This is good news for everyone. So that, he says, you might know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now, Luke is different than most of the other Gospels because the Gospel of Matthew is written to Jewish people. The book of Mark is written in a real fast pace. This is the shortest gospel. It's only 16 chapters, and it's more like USA Today headlines, just bump, 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 getting through it. The book of Luke is specifically written to a group of people who he wants to emphasize that the good news is for everyone, regardless of class and socioeconomic status, and it's a beautiful picture of the book of Luke. I love the book of Luke because I am passionate about the down and out. I'm passionate about the less fortunate. I'm passionate about helping people that might not be on level ground. And so I identify with the book of Luke in a very personal kind of way. I believe that this is an important book for our church. So here's where we're going. Let me just tell you a picture of where we're going. And by the way, we're only going to look at two verses today that come out of chapter 3. We started with Luke 1 around Christmas time. We talked about Luke 1 and 2 around Christmas, where Jesus comes into the world. And then we're going to get into Luke chapter 3 and finish it out throughout the rest of the year. But just so you know, for the next about 11 weeks up to Easter, we're going to be in the book of Luke. And that's pretty exciting. Easter's only 11 weeks away, which we're very, very excited about. And then we have a family series, and then we'll get back into Luke and go through the summer through Luke. And then we have a break in the right beginning of fall, and then we'll be back in the book of Luke. And we'll finish the book of Luke by, I don't know, maybe December. So that'll be fun. We started last December, and we'll keep going through. Each week, what we're doing is whoever's communicating, whoever's going to be speaking, we're going to take that chapter, and we're going to read it over and over again. And we're going to ask the Lord, like, what is the one story that you're speaking to my heart about so that I can then share it with these folks and I can say it with passion and say it with conviction? And so today, I've been reading Luke chapter 3 for really a couple of months now. And actually, Pastor Lee taught on the beginning part of Luke 3 in our Be Rich 2.0 series back in November. So I thought, well, there's only one other set of verses that are in this, and that is Jesus' baptism. Now, Jesus' baptism is so fascinating to me because Jesus and John the Baptist are cousins, and we saw that in Luke 1 and 2. Jesus and John the Baptist are cousins, And John has been out doing ministry way before Jesus even was. And John is baptizing people right and left all the time. He's baptizing people. And when he's baptizing people, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene. And Jesus says, I want you to baptize me. And John the Baptist argues with Jesus. He's like, no, 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 I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals, let alone baptize you in water. And Jesus, being the Son of God, wins that argument, which is pretty exciting. And this is what we find in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. He wins the argument. And as Jesus was praying, heaven was opened. This may be the best special effects ever in the scripture. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And the Holy Spirit descended on him like him in form of bodily dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Think about that. How powerful that moment is in the life of Jesus. We've talked about this from a doctrinal perspective in the past. This is a great picture of God being Trinity. That God the Father is speaking, God the Son is doing something, he's being baptized, God the Holy Spirit is affirming, and it's a beautiful picture. Jesus wants to please the Father by being baptized, and the Father was pleased by Jesus' obedience, and we see the Holy Spirit was also pleased, and I believe that this speaks to something inherent in every one of us. I believe it speaks to our hunger to be to receive affection and to receive affirmation and to receive approval and acceptance. I think that some of us may crave those things more than others, but I believe that all of us have that innate desire to have some type of connection with other people. In fact, I don't know if you ever see this happen, but when you're surfing online, you might come across something that people call clickbait. You ever have that? Like, you won't believe what this dog does, you know? And then like six videos in, you're finally like, I want to see the dog. What did he do? Something that catches your attention. And for me, I saw this article that was kind of clickbait. And it was, want to know what your employees can do to experience your loyalty or to feel like you're being more loyal to them or something like that. Here's what it want to double your employees' loyalty? Yeah, I do. Well, here's what it says. Science says provide these three things. Scientists have discovered that people aren't loyal because of how much you pay them. It's actually more emotional. They've discovered that their loyalty is, they want to feel like we belong first. They want to feel safe second. And they want to feel like we matter. Now, don't you just love when science confirms what God has already put in place? Because here's what, if you'll look at the picture here, you'll see to feel like we belong, God says, you are my son. To feel like we're safe, God says, I love you. And to feel like we matter, God says, I am pleased with you. You are making a difference. You are awesome. You have everything you need because of what I've done for you. Now, here's what I believe is fascinating to all of us is that there are things that we choose to believe that are very different than what God has spoken over us. I love the songs we sang this morning because they were so filled with faith about the love of God that's been spoken over us. And what was awesome is that Micah planned all of these songs without even knowing what I was speaking about, which is just neat to see how the Holy Spirit brings all those things together. But then we sang God is so good and how we are blessed and we are called and we are highly favored and anointed. That is good. Because how often do we not believe those things about ourselves? And yet what God has spoken is almost always better than what we believe about ourselves. I think this speaks to the human condition. I think it speaks to our innate desire to connect. And I believe that God wants us to have each of these things in place so that our relational world can thrive. So as we go through these today, I just want you to think about, like, is my life full of this? And then also, have I received this from God first and foremost? If I haven't, then that may be the place to start. If not, then if I have, then I will also share that with other people. So here's what we see in this passage. Three implications for our lives from this passage from Luke chapter 3. First implication is the Father shows the Son acceptance. When he says, this is my Son, he's saying, you belong. You're here for a reason. You are a part of this family. One person said that baptism is a social thing in the New Testament. It represents a social identity alteration. One author writes it this way. He says, immersion in flowing water had the effect of transforming an individual, and I love the language here, from outsider to insider, from pagan to saint, from stranger to brother or sister. In the early church, once people were socially identified with the family of God through baptism, it was in that moment that they could then participate in receiving communion together, which we do here each and every week for those who are part of the family of God, because it said they were part of the family. The church is a family. The church is a family, united together, called into community, knit together because of the faith that we've expressed in Jesus Christ. And here's what I want to say. If you're looking for a family, maybe you're visiting, then we hope that you feel like you're a part of the family. One thing that I sense here at the Church of Lake Travis at a growing rate is that we have this sense of identity as a family together, even though we don't like to all sit in the middle together. We have this sense of community. We have this sense of identity, like we are a relational church. We are a biblical church. We are a team, and we are a generous people together. We are all of these things that make up who we are, life-giving. And it brings a connectedness to us as a family. One of the things that we look at all the time is when we dismiss out of here on Sunday mornings, we see this happen all the time. Like, what happens here in this setting, it's a little bit weird, honestly. Like, it's Western church, and Western church says, come in and be quiet while one guy talks, and you look at the back of somebody else's head, and that's really not the way that the New Testament describes church, right? While teaching is important, the believers always listen to teaching from God's word. Some people are like, where's he going with this? Here's where I'm going with it. What we love to see happening are people in the lobby hugging, high-fiving, having conversations about meaningful life things. What we love to see happening here, what families do when they're not fighting and arguing, they hang out together and they laugh together and they have fun. When one of our biggest asset at this school is not this auditorium. We say it again and again. Our biggest asset, and we want to figure out how to leverage it more, is that football field right out there after church. And your kids say amen, right? Not on a cold, rainy day, but most days it's beautiful. And we see the church being a community. We see the church being a family in a true, connected, close kind of way. Now, we have all of the strategic ways for you to get connected. I mean, if you want to fill out a connection card, sometimes people come and don't ever fill that out. But if you want to introduce yourself to the Church at Lake Travis family, then that's the first step. You might fill out a connection card, and then you might go to Connect Track, and you'll get involved in that. And then you might get baptized. And that says, hey, I want to make my faith known. I want to be a part of the family. And that's a way you can do that. I've been baptized twice in my life. I was baptized whenever I was 8 years old, and then I was baptized again when I was 21 because I recommitted my life to Christ. And I said, I want it to be known to the world that this is my line in the sand. I'm making a decision. I'm going to follow Christ for the rest of my life. And so I was baptized on my 21st birthday. I got engaged that day too. That was pretty exciting, wasn't it? that was a fun day. But I just think about that. Those are memorable things that mark your spiritual journey. Here's what I would say. Maybe you've been coming to the church at Lake Travis and you're not sure about this whole faith journey thing. Here's what I would say. You give us a year of your life. You give us a year of your life. And I'm not talking about like you show up like most people, average attendee attends church twice a month. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you show up every week, week in and week out. As long as you're in town, then you're here. You get involved in small group. You go through the Connect Track. You give us a year of your life. And if at the end of that year that you can look at me and say, Jeremy, sorry, my life is not better as a result of the last year that I've invested in being a part of this church family, then you're off the hook. And I'm willing to bet that you won't be able to say that. That you'll be able to say, my life is richer as a result of me being a part of this community that brings this absolute life-giving acceptance into my life. That went a lot longer than I thought. So let me just say, I believe acceptance is a big deal. And in God, we find ultimate acceptance when we find our place through faith in Jesus. That's when we know we've been accepted and loved by God, is when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And then secondly, we find acceptance in community. The second implication for our life is shown through the Spirit, and the Spirit displays affection on the Son. This picture is beautiful. The Holy Spirit descends in bodily form and rests upon Jesus. Now, I think affection is a beautiful picture of the kind of community that we should have as a church and that you should have in your own relational world. Now, I'll admit, the level of affection that you might feel comfortable might vary from person to person. I'm not a huge hugger. Like, some people are like, hug, open up, you know, like I'm more like a side hug kind of person, you know, like I'm real comfortable with a fist bump, you know, like that's my introvertedness, like I'll give you a fist bump. But other people are like, give me the hug, full frontal chest, rah, you know. I'm just saying, like, affection looks different for different people. And I'll say, like, for some of us, I believe the enemy has tried to rob you of life-giving relationships because of something that was perpetrated upon you in your past, and God doesn't want that for you or your relational world. God wants you to have healthy affection. I believe the church misses this sometimes. The church doesn't have life-giving, healthy, attaboy, attagirl, pat on the back, high five, all of those kinds of things. And that simply creates a life-giving environment. That may be in, not just in the church, though. That might need to happen in your family dynamic. I meet so many men and women who tell me stories that their family, they weren't affectionate. They never heard they belonged. And therefore, it affects every piece of their relational world to this day. But this model from God that shows that He shows affection on the Son is such a healthy thing for our relational world. We can, in fact, be affectionate people as we look to how God is within the Trinity. It doesn't need to be weird, but it simply is affection in a God-honoring way. So God shows us this kind of care and concern in Jesus' baptism. The third implication for our lives is that the Father shows affirmation to the Son. With you, I am well pleased, He says. We need that affection, and we need that acceptance, and we need affirmation in our lives. I think about this. Ashley and I, we watch a show on Amazon Prime called Poldark. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind of like a PBS masterpiece. It's super, I would say, clean, and, you know, like, we kind of like that. But like, when I hear this, the way this is worded, like, with you, I'm well pleased, it makes me think of a person in a British accent. I don't know. She said that was cheesy when I told her I was going to say that. But that's the way it makes me think. Everyone needs an attaboy, an attagirl. Everyone needs affirmation. I love that Rebecca gave the shout out to our setup team today, because we couldn't do what we do without them. Setup team, with you, we are well pleased. Micah, leading us in worship today. I'm well pleased with you, Micah. Luke, running the slides back there. I'm well pleased with you, Luke. Dylan, nobody ever gets any attention for Dylan unless something bad happens. So Dylan, running sound, I'm well pleased with you, Dylan. I hope that we can create that environment. I hope you can create that environment in your home where you can be affirming and saying, hey, good job. I love you. You're awesome. You belong. Give me a hug. Give me a high five. Like, that you have that sense of, I'm going to reflect who God is in my home. I'm going to reflect who God is in my business with my employees. I'm going to reflect who God is in my neighborhood. Well, wait a minute, Jeremy. You might be going too far with that. No, I'm not. I'm saying, here's how we open the door for God to break into our relational world and to make it 10 times better than we ever could on our own. If we'll follow this picture of God with Jesus, where He is displaying incredible acceptance. I think sometimes we're too judgmental, and it keeps us from being accepting of people. I think that sometimes our pride, or maybe our insecurity, kind of breaks and keeps us from being able to move forward into what God has called us to. So I want to give you two action items from this message today. Number one is, get connected in a small group. Get connected in a small group. Here's why. It's because community is God's design. Community is where we experience the kind of family that God wants for all of us. So get connected in community in a small group. There are 8 different small groups to choose from. If you don't find at least one that fits your schedule, then you might have a too busy of a schedule, okay? So you might need to take something out in order to put this in. But let me say, this is a critical piece for you. The second piece is that I would say is, if you want to improve your relational world, you've got to connect with God every day. Spend the first 5 minutes of every day. Just wake up with gratitude on your heart and in your mouth, that you simply are able to say, God, thank you. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you for what you've done in my life. God, you're amazing. You're awesome. There's nobody like you. There's never been anyone like you. Just simply, for the first 5 minutes of your day, connect with God. Because here's what that's going to do. When you start to see yourself, how God sees you, all of a sudden, you see, I'm accepted. I'm affirmed. God has showered me with his affection. And when you get that in your heart, then it can't help but transform you to love other people in the same kind of way. Isn't that so good?
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.